الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to your authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this week's Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic is Description of Paradise, really part two. I'm going to give you just some really very basic information about paradise, because we as Muslims, we believe in heaven and hell, as some people call it, or paradise, or Jannah, or Jahannam. So we believe in those two things. And so I just want to let you know a little more information about some of the characteristics of those who will be in the paradise and earn their right to be in paradise. So I also want to mention to everyone is that when you turn in terms of going to Jannah, going to paradise, is mentioned by Ibn Abbas. He said, "Paradise is surrounded by hardships, and hellfire is surrounded by temptations." Allah, when He made the paradise and hell, He made paradise, He said, "Look, Jibril, Angel Jibril, go look at paradise." He said, "Anyone that sees that, they want to go there." And then He put around it all kinds of trials and difficulties. And then He said, "Now go look at it. And He said, "Look, anyone that's going to go through trials and tribulations is going to be a challenge for them, difficult for them to get into Jannah because of so many trials or paradise, so many trials and tribulations they have to go through." Then He made hell. And then He said, "Anyone that sees it, they don't want to," and Jibril, he asked Jibril to go look at it. And then Jibril looked at it, He said, "Well, anyone that sees hell or hellfire, they're not going to want to go there." Then He put all these different temptations around it and things that will allure people. And He said, "Now go look at it." He said, "Look, I looked at it." He said, "Anyone that's going to be tempted by these things, they're not going to resist going to hell." And so those are a couple of things I want to mention to you. And of course, paradise is surrounded by hardship, as I mentioned before, and hellfire is surrounded by temptation. And there's also a saying by Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, and where he mentioned that the really this world really is a prison for the believer, and for the unbeliever, it is a paradise for them in this particular world. So if you understand that concept, then you may have a better understanding why people grip so hard to this world and don't work for the other world or the next world, world that's coming, which is, of course, life after death. And after death, you don't die and that's it. You die and then you be judged. And then you either go to paradise or you go to the hellfire, depending upon your deeds that you've done. It's also mentioned that, narrated by Ibn Umar, he said, "When the people of paradise have entered paradise and the people of the fire have entered the fire, death will be brought and will be placed between the fire and paradise. And then it will be slaughtered. And a call will be made that, 'O people of paradise, no more death. O people of the fire, no more death.' So the people of Paradise will have happiness added to their previous happiness, and the people of the fire will have sorrow added to their previous sorrow. And so it's very interesting that we all are going to die. We all going to face death or experience death. Even death is going to experience death. As I mentioned, that you have all the people in the fire and all the people in paradise. And then, of course, the death will be placed between them. And then it will also die. And so the people in hellfire, they will not die. They will just be in the hellfire. And the people in paradise, they will not die because death, of course, has received death itself. And they will remain in the paradise for the rest of their life, what they earned. I want to mention something else I found very interesting, is that there's one of the verses, or several verses in the Quran, and I won't go through them all, and several verses in the Quran, and it mentions about, and I'm going to sort of paraphrase this, and it mentioned about the people that are going to paradise. And so what happens is that according to what they call the tafsir, explanation of the various ayahs or verses in the Quran, it mentioned that Allah will direct the angels to greet the people that are that come into the paradise and congratulate them. It's really a big deal. For those of you who are soccer fans, the World Cup is a big deal. And we can congratulate the teams, whatever, for winning the World Cup or coming close to winning the World Cups or winning some kind of championship. In America, we have the Super Bowl, and also we have the World Series and different other competitions we have here. And people are so happy that their team won or their individual won. And so it's nothing like that. It's way beyond that, where you enter paradise and the angel basically greet you and say, basically, these are my words. Congratulations, you made it through all the hardships surrounding paradise. You made it through. You were the one of a few people that made it into paradise. And congratulations for that accomplishment. So I pray to Allah that those who are listening to me, that inshallah, God willing, that we all are greeted by the angels in paradise and congratulating us for our success. People have success when they go to college, they get college degrees, or they are training, whatever it is, they're successful. But the thing, the biggest success and the best success is success after this life, which is getting into paradise. That's a big success and a lot of pats on the back that people will get. And for them being successful and getting all through, going through all the hardship they went through, and the patience they had to display in order to get into the paradise. And I pray Allah that we are amongst those people that will be patient and also be the ones that the angels will greet and congratulate us for being successful on entering the paradise. I want to mention something else. It was also mentioned by Abu Sayyid al-Khudri and Abu Huraira. Both reported that Allah's messenger, may peace and blessing upon him, said, there will be an announcer in paradise who would make this announcement. Verily, there is in store for you everlasting health, and that you shall never fall ill, and that you live forever and do not die at all, and that you will remain young and never grow old, and that you will always live in affluent circumstances and never become destitute. As the words of Allah, the Exalted, the Glorious, are, and it will be announced to them, this is the paradise you have been made to inherit, is for what you used to do. You can find this in chapter 7, verse 43. Again, chapter 7, verse 43, where Allah says, and it will be announced to them, this is the paradise you have been made to inherit. It is for what you used to do. And so we all want to strive for that, and not get old, and live forever, and not die, and always be rich in terms of where we are, not rich with money and housing, but we are in a better situation than those who are in the hellfire. So that's what I pray, that those who are listening to me, that you understand what I am saying, and you're going to strive hard to get into paradise. And your first step to do that is to become Muslim. I'm just letting you know what, because Islam lays out for you what's happening now, what happened yesterday, and what will happen tomorrow, meaning after our death. Islam lays all that out to you. There are not too many faiths that do that. But Islam lays out for each and every individual, so it won't be any surprise of what happened to those before us, what's happening now, and what will happen to us later on, meaning life after death. And I'll get into more details in a moment about some of the things when you get into paradise. But right now, you will not fall ill, and you will live forever and not die, and remain young and never grow old, and never be destitute. You will be affluent on circumstances. And so I want to mention the next hadith of saying the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him. But Abu Hurairah reported that Allah's apostle, as saying that, Allah the Exalted and Glorious said, I have prepared for my pious servants, which no eye has ever seen, and no ear has ever heard, and no human heart has ever perceived. But it is testified by the book of Allah. But he then recited, no soul knows what comfort has been concealed from them as a reward for what they did. So we're talking about this place, paradise. No one's seen it before. This place, paradise, no one experienced it before. No one had the smell of it before. No one seen it before. No one heard of it before. It's be a whole new place that we work hard in this world, and we get it in the next world. For those who are the pious servants of Allah, no eye has ever seen, and no ear has ever heard, and no human heart has ever perceived. So I just want to mention those things to you, so sort of really give my students a heads up on what to expect as a description of the hellfire. Of paradise. I talked about the hellfire before in another episode, and I'm basically talking about description of paradise. And so you never grow old, you never die, you have good health, you'll be young, and never grow old. So all these things that we experience now in this world, we will not experience in the next world. So I'm asking my students to strive hard. Perhaps you become Muslim. Pray Allah you become Muslim, and that you strive hard for the paradise. It's a long journey. It's a lot of work to be done. It's hard work, and you have a lot of trials and tribulations along the way. But you can do it with the help of Allah. You can make it with the help of Allah. Don't think that you can't make it and you can't do it. You can do it. Also, it mentioned that the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him, as saying, the inmates of paradise would eat and drink, but would neither spit, nor pass water, nor void excrement. And it mentioned some other things too, but I'll continue. It was said, then what would happen with food? Thereupon he said, may peace and blessings be upon him, they will belch or sweat, and it will be over with their food. It'll be done. And their sweat will be that of musk, and they will glorify and praise Allah as easily as you breathe. And so when a person belches, it will be a musk, a beautiful smell. Or when they sweat, it'll be a beautiful smell, Because we eat and we had to discharge it, eat, or we drink and drink, had to discharge it as human beings. And so the man asked, he wanted to know, okay, well, what happens? We're going to eat, we're going to drink, and so what happens to all that? And then he explained, yes, you're going to do those things, and the way you get rid of these things in paradise is that through your sweat glands and also through a belch, which we all pretty much do. And so you through that belch, and then it smells like musk. It have a nice, sweet fragrance to it, and not like we experience here, because sometimes when people belch, you know what they ate, because you can sometimes, you know what you ate too, or you can smell it sometime in the belch that you do. But let me move on from that. Also narrated Ali, and it was talking about a person that they visit the sick. We as Muslims, we are encouraged to visit those who are sick, either in the hospital or in their homes, wherever they are, we will visit the sick. And so, alhamdulillah, we're doing it. We're not telling everyone that we pass. I'm going to visit the sick. I'm going to visit so-and-so. He's sick or she's sick. No. You don't brag like that. So really, you want to try to get praise from those individuals. And so you just go and you visit the person who is sick. They'll be so happy to see you. And I think there's some hadith to talk about saying the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, and that you visit just for a little while. You don't just stay on and on as the person wants you to. You just visit for a little while, let the person know that you're there, and then you leave and let them be able to rest. So let me go on regarding this in relationship to paradise. If a man visits a patient in the evening, 7,000 angels come along with him, seeking forgiveness from Allah for him till the morning. And he will have a garden in the paradise. It's such a beautiful thing, is that you visit your brother or your sister, your sick brother or sister, and 70,000 angels come along with him seeking forgiveness from Allah. This is what happened. And they would continue to do that until the morning. This was what these angels would do on your behalf, because you went to visit this person. And it also mentioned he will have a garden in paradise. Who does not want that? You will have a garden in paradise for just visiting someone who is sick in the hospital. I want to mention something else, and that is, alhamdulillah, I believe it's hadith, where Allah would say to the inmates of a paradise, and would say, you know, basically, and I think may get to this later on, basically, like, are you happy? And they would say, yeah, Allah, we're very, very happy with what we received through by us worshiping you, obeying you, and that sort of thing. Oh, yeah, we're happy with that. And then Allah would basically say to them, look, I got something else in store for you. And like they would say, like, what? What else can you have? I mean, we get everything that we want and we need. All we got to do is want it, think about it, whatever, and we get it. What else can we get? How much good can you put if I'm good? And he said, then he said, basically, you know, he will unveil himself to those who believe in him, those who worship him, and unveil his self. And subhanAllah, the glory of seeing your Lord is beyond imagination. This is another gift that Allah has given to the inmates of the paradise. And we all want to experience that. We worship Allah. We obey Allah. He said, don't do things, we don't do it. He said, do things, we try to do it to the best of our ability. And then Allah rewards the paradise. And on top of that, he unveils himself to us, to those who believe in him and worship him and obedient to him. Also in a similar hadith I mentioned earlier, Jabir reported, all said that he heard the Messenger of Allah said, no Muslim will pay a sick visit to another in the morning without 70,000 angels invoking blessings on him to the evening, or visit him in the evening without 70,000 angels invoking blessings on him to the morning. And he will have gathering fruit, or will have gathered fruit, one of whose meaning a gathering or pluck in fruits in paradise. He will basically gain the fruits of paradise. If he goes to visit in the morning, the sick person, the angels, 70,000 angels pray for him until the evening. He visited the sick person in the evening, 70,000 angels will visit him will pray for him until the morning. Who doesn't want that? Who does not want that are listening to what I'm saying, and visiting those who are sick? If you don't want that before I started, please want it now. Please want to visit the sick person, and also that the angels pray for you going there while you're there, and to the evening, or pray for you while you're there until the morning. And so, please visit those who are sick. So let me move on. It's also mentioned that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he said, for those who fast, there is a gate of paradise called Ar-Riyan, through which no one but they will enter. When the last of them has entered it, it will be closed. Whoever enters through it will drink, and whoever drinks will never thirst again. So you have several gates. I believe it's like 8 different gates that people can go through. So if you're a fasting person or faster, then you go through that particular gate until there's no more people. The end. Then the gate. Then that's it. Khalas. At the end, the gates will close. And whoever enters through it will drink, and whoever drinks will never thirst again. Will never get thirsty. These are one of the special gates or doors. In paradise. They have several others, but that's one of the gates in paradise that a person can enter during because of their fasting. The Muslim have, and I probably said in an early episode, the month of Ramadan, and that's when Muslims fast from sun up to sundown. They can eat a little before the sun comes up, and then that's the suhoor. It's called suhoor, like a breakfast, and then when the sun sets, they break their fast with dates or water, and then they maybe fruit, and then they will have the iftar, which is sort of a dinner, and have their meal, and they can, if they want to, they can eat all night if they want to, but be very careful. You don't want to become glutton and eat like that, but that's your choice. But the thing is, you eat suhoor in the morning, a breakfast in the morning. It helps you make it through the day. And no fasting. We don't eat anything, drink anything, have sexual intercourse with our spouse, anything like that. We give. Because Prophet Muhammad, he gave more during the month of Ramadan, like the fast wind. That's what he used to do. He's most generous during the month of Ramadan. And so we want to be the same way for the Muslims all over the world. We should be that way and be during the month of Ramadan. Be of those who are fasting and be generous, even more generous. Be generous all the rest of the year, the other 11 months. But when this month comes around, we should be even more generous, like the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be blessed upon him, that he was very generous. It is also mentioned, narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. It was narrated that the Prophet, may peace be blessed upon him, said, any Muslim who clothes another Muslim, a Muslim who is naked, Allah will clothe him from the green garments of paradise. Any Muslim who feeds a Muslim who is hungry, Allah will feed him from the fruit of paradise. And any Muslim who gives drink to a Muslim who is thirsty, Allah will give him a drink from the what we call the sealed nectar. And so I wanted to mention this, and some saying this just to change is a little bit weak, and Allah knows best. the change of narrators, but I just wanted to mention this to you, is that in terms of the person that a Muslim helping Muslims. And that is a person in naked need clothing, and we clothe that individual, Allah will clothe us. And the person is hungry, then we will feed them. And so from the fruits of paradise, and someone needs something to drink, and we give them something to drink, and the Allah gives us something to drink from the sealed nectar. But let me move on, my beautiful students. And also it's mentioned by Jabir reported. He reported that I heard the Allah's apostle, and peace be upon him, as saying that the inmates of paradise will eat and drink, but will neither spit nor pass water, nor void excrement. And I mentioned this earlier. Then what happened with the food? Thereupon he said, they will belch and sweat, and it will be over with, meaning their food, and their sweat will be that of musk. And they will glorify and praise Allah as easily as you breathe. As I mentioned before, I just remind you of this, is that the person, we will eat, we will drink, but it would not come out like it comes out now, as I mentioned to you all before, which you already know the answer, because I told it to you earlier, and that is that the person will belch or sweat, and it smell like musk, a sweet smell of musk. And then you smell musk before, I don't know, but you can, a lot of Muslim stores, they sell oils and smell musk, and then you get an idea of what I'm talking about. Just go to a neighborhood Muslim store, and then you get an idea of what I'm talking about. Ah, this is what the man was talking about in terms of the smell of musk. Now I know. And you smell it, it's just a beautiful fragrance. And so that will be the belch, and the sweat will come out like the musk. I'm going to read a couple more, and then I will stop. And that is, in paradise, there is a tree under the shade of which a rider can travel for 100 years. And so I mentioned this to you because also mentioned about some people call it Tuba, and that is a tree in where shade is so wide that even on a swift horse, if the person traversing goes around that shade, it'll take at least 100 years for them to get around to the through the 360 to get around that particular tree. It's just so large, so it gives you an idea of how large paradise is. It's and if you have a tree like that in paradise. And so those are one of the things in paradise that one of the unique things about paradise. And also mention about for example, Ibrahim, he will be a 6 cubit high, a very, very tall individual. And then the children will gather unto him. The children that abuse that kind of thing will gather next to him. So let me move on and say the base of this last one, and that is reported that the Prophet, may peace be upon him, said that in paradise, there will be for a believer a tenth of a single hollow pearl, which is like 60 miles high and 60 miles wide. It will be meant for the believer, and the believers will go around it, and none will be able to see the others. So everyone would know your house. Everyone will know your domain. Each and every one of us, and I would love for you to be my neighbor, neighbor in paradise, and for me to be your neighbor in paradise. And we have this beautiful, beautiful mansion, if you will, made out of pearl in paradise. And we enter it, and it's all ours. I can't see anyone else, and they can't see me. Just imagine this. It's real, what I'm talking about. Allah made us out of nothing. Allah made Adam out of nothing. He made Eve without a mother, and made Adam without a mother and a father, and made Jesus without a father. So this thing is easy for Allah to do. This reward for us worshiping Allah and obeying Allah. This is our reward for that if we do what Allah tells us to do, and don't be afraid to do those good things and stay away from bad things, and that we get the paradise. These are just some of the things that I mentioned about some of the beautiful descriptions of paradise, and much, much more about the rivers flowing and about the different tastes of the fruit like we never drunk before, and drink that we never drank before. But I'm going to have to stop to find out and to learn more about the Islamic faith and increase your knowledge of Islam. You go to Why Islam. You go to the International Online University or Open University. Also, you find out and go to the Muslim Network .tv and find out more information, current information about Islam. And also, and you can also go to embracerevert.org and find some basic information about Islam. And none of these organizations are paying people for doing that. I'm just very familiar with them. And please go online and look them up for yourself. You want to get some more information about Islam. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.